Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I guess I should say good morning and a very happy Wednesday to you, Tom Jones.
Little Start Me Up.
Yeah,
the little old Rolling days. Stones. The band is back. Derek is
realizing
back.
How much I hated being up so early. This is terrible. I have not talked to Derek Sharp since the day we got fired from WT.
No, well, that's not, let me just that's not true. Good reason.
Let me put your mind at ease, Tom. That's not because I don't like you, as opposed to previous morning show hosts that I also haven't talked to. I actually like you. I like you both. That's why I'm doing this. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. It's good, all three of us. It's weird. It feels like there should be a piece of glass between us and Derek. And I have talked to Derek since that fateful day that we went in and got Joe Pesci'd like, oh no, in the back of the head at WDA, but
in separate offices, no less.
In separate offices.
Let me ask you, after that happened, did you go in a different direction?
No, but I did want to spend more time with my family.
Yeah, some personal news. Yeah, exactly.
Oh man.
They went in a different direction.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
They did.
Mike and Mike.
Mike went in a different direction since then.
You went north. I know.
I went to bed. That's what I did.
Somehow we killed Mike and Mike, too, because Mike and Mike didn't last much longer either.
So. That show killed me, but anyway.
good to talk to both of you guys.
Today in the Tampa Bay area, today in Tampa Bay sports, let's talk about last night's Clippers game.
There you go. I didn't realize they did so much NBA. They do so much NBA.
It was the NBA show. All due respect to the NBA.
Yeah, well, it was October. Anyway, it's so great to have Derek. We were cutting up the other night when Steve was trying to go on vacation. Now, of course, he is on vacation, and good for him. He deserves it. I think it's the first. Tom, this may be our 1,000th show. I don't know. One of these shows in the next couple days.
The podcast, the Sports podcast. Day Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
Wow. 1,000 shows.
1,000.
Did we do 1,000 radio shows? We must have
done easily. Easily. Yeah, I would think. Yeah. I would think 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, but who's counting? But still, that's impressive. That really is impressive.
Well, I am.
Yeah, count the hours.
I count the 3.5 hours a night that I slept for 5 years. That's what I count. But
this is much more leisurely for folks that are listening on a Wednesday. You don't know when we're recording this, but it's definitely not early in the morning.
No.
I don't mind the podcast thing at all.
No, it's not. It's not too bad, and we're glad. We're glad Derek is with us. The next couple days we'll have Tom and there's a lot of things going on in sports to talk about, not just the Bucks and the Rays and all of that. But let's start, Tom, with the Olympics, of course, are on, and the ratings aren't very good. It's weird in Japan. There's no fans in these arenas because of COVID. The athletes can't really go anywhere.
Time difference, which is
time difference is always bad, especially. Not just a time difference, but when you cross the international date line, I've been to Japan. It is like I never knew. Forget about, it's one thing when you're like, oh, I'm in California. It's 3 hours. Let's see, what time is it? Or you're even in Hawaii where I was this summer. It's like, it's 6 hours. So it's only when you cross the date line, it's not even the same day. Like you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm a day ahead. So it's 12 hours, but it's yesterday. In the state, like it's so bizarre that you never really know where you're at, like kind of spatially. But
have you been watching the Olympics? I mean,
no, my family has been. My girls have been watching like at night the replay. I mean, none of this is live if you watch at night.
Some of the swimming, right? Because they like the other night Lydia Jacoby, who
that girl, was live. Yeah,
the woman from Alaska who was incredible. By the way, I went crazy. I actually called my wife in the room. I rewound it. I'm like, you have to watch this.
It was a wild.
And watching the fans back in Alaska going crazy. Mm-hmm. Like that's been
That was the entire state, by the way, in that shot. I think they all were there.
I know, right? But they went crazy. It was great. But so I have been watching it, but it is a weird. I don't know how you are, Rick, but I'm just to follow up the point about it being weird. It's the whole no fans thing. It's hard to get into it when there are no fans around.
So imagine, you know, the big story, of course, the women's Olympic gymnastics team with Simone Biles, the greatest Olympian or, you know, gymnast in the world.
Maybe ever.
Right. The most decorated, certainly, decided to hold on and compete in this Olympics, which is something she didn't have to do after everything she's accomplished in her life. And so they had the team event on Tuesday. And of course, it was in the morning our time. And I'm actually driving to the Bucks to cover training camp. It had to be about 7:45 or not even 8 o'clock. And the news cuts in that Simone Biles has pulled out of the team competition. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's been injured, you know?
Right.
Because I guess she attempted something on one of the apparatus. I don't know if it was a vault, or balance beam, whatever. And she's pulled out. So I'm thinking, well, that's horrible, right? You get injured. The Olympics, it's every 4 years, you know, so much anticipation, especially with her. Turns out, of course, as we all know now, she had some sort of anxiety, some sort of mental breakdown, if you will, felt like she couldn't continue, wasn't something you would want to attempt necessarily for all the things that they do. They're, you know, very dangerous, I mean, for one thing, but she took herself out of the team competition and she sat there and she cheered on her teammates. Every score had to count after that. They went on to win a silver medal, which is a great accomplishment given the fact that the greatest gymnast in the world was not competing with them. But Tom, you know how a lot of people will look at this. I think as a society, we're more accepting of maybe what some of these athletes are going through. We talked a lot about Naomi Osaka not long ago, the tennis player that withdrew. Or did not compete at Wimbledon. So I think, but there are still some that'll say, well, this is a choke. You know, you only right. do this one time. And oh, by the way, you should have so much muscle memory that it shouldn't really be a problem. In other words, okay, so you're a little anxious, but like, come on, like what is going on here?
Yeah, and there's the part of this idea that that's what part of what makes a great athlete is being able to
under pressure
to fight through the stress to,
right.
you know, in moments like this. That this is, you know, we applaud people for their mental fortitude and their toughness, you know,
for their concentration, their focus, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you go out there with people screaming and yelling and it's third down and Tom Brady has to make a precision throw under duress, right? That's what separates the greatness from the rest of us mortals, right?
Right. And it's something that she has proven time and time again in her career. So talking mm-hmm. about Simone Biles, so it's not a question of she's never been here before. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's done it before and she's mm-hmm. been very good at it. Maybe the best of all time. And I don't, but Rick, I don't think this isn't the same as the mental fortitude of like fighting through, you know, a nervous situation. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I'll start off by saying this, Rick, it's a really tricky subject because if there's anything we truly don't know about other people, it's how they feel. Like mm-hmm. somebody can try to explain it as best they can, but we really can never understand how another human being feels, how they think, what's going on inside their brain. In fact, there's a lot of us can't even understand what we ourselves are thinking half the time or how we're feeling, which is why we talk to therapists, why we talk to our partners, why we mm-hmm. talk to our pastors, why we talk to our friends mm-hmm. to help us through life's moments when we're not even sure what we're going through. So let's start there that we truly can't understand what Simone Biles is feeling, what she's going through. But Rick, I've heard a couple of people, let's start here. People compare, it's like, well, can you imagine Tom Brady pulling out of the Super Bowl, you know, 2 minutes into the Super Bowl? This is not the same as Tom Brady. This is not the same as Michael Jordan pulling out of the NBA Finals. First off, Simone Biles, she's at a level that very few people ever get at. I mean, as much as Tom Brady is famous and as much as people are watching him, the whole country's not relying on Tom Brady or Tom Brady doesn't have the whole country on his shoulders. Simone Biles had the whole country. People who don't even follow sports know who Simone Biles is. People who never watch sports except for once every, this time, 5 years, know who Simone Biles is. So the amount of pressure she's on is a whole different level that I think only a few people ever, Michael Phelps, maybe, other Olympians, you know. I mean, I don't even know who else to put in that category. Mary Lou Retton back in the day, like people like that. So
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Yeah, or Usain Bolt. Or,
Usain Bolt's going,
yeah. Or back in the day, Carl Lewis or, you know, Flojo, whoever. But other than that, Rick, like, I just don't even know who to put in that category. So for her, I think it's just she was overwhelmed by the moment. And you mentioned it, Rick. This is the thing where you don't have your mental concentration and you're doing flips in the air and you're not on it and you land on your head. Like, this isn't as violent as football and hockey are or whatever. You could get really hurt in gymnastics if you don't know what you're doing. So I understand there's sort of this sort of, I mean, there may be people who look at her differently from now on, you know, and remember when Roberto Duran quit in the middle of a match and everybody made fun of him and the whole no moss. I just think though that this is a whole different situation. What do you think happened to her?
Oh, I don't know what happened in terms of like what she was trying to process. I think there's a whole lot of pressure. Like you said, that we'll never completely understand. I think, you know, representing your country is certainly different than representing the New England Patriots or the Bucks in a big game. And that's a team sport. Individual, you know, there's nobody but, you know, the cameras on you. Certainly if you're in the moment and you're not locked in doing what they do, and you forget how many rotations or whatever that thing is that takes you out of the focus that you require, then you best not do it, because to your point, you could get extremely injured and nobody wants that. And you could hurt your team. I mean, this is the thing. This was a team event. It was an individual part of the program. You know, she didn't want to take her team out of it because one really bad score would do that. And so I think she was also thinking of them to some extent as well. We've seen this, though. Now it's highly, you know, it seems to be. And I hope as a society we're starting to understand and accept that people go through things, athletes in particular, that there are moments of tremendous stress. I actually think the stress is more on athletes now, Tom, than it has been ever before. And I think a big part of it is just what goes on in our lives and our children's lives that we have to be aware of, which is social media. And I don't know that Simone Biles looks at anything. You know, I really don't. But there's just so many platforms, so much information out there. The exposure is so great, you know, and it can work into your advantage. She's a international star. She's somebody that is able to have a ton of endorsements as a result of her athletic accomplishments, and good for her. But with that exposure comes everything else, right? And I just think it's different. But is it that different? You know, if you go back in the day, you know, Michael Jordan was NBA champion, and then his father was killed, was shot in sort of a carjacking deal. And he winds up taking a year and a half off and played baseball, for goodness sakes.
Right.
What was that if not a chance to reset his life mentally, you know, or a breakdown to where he would quit playing basketball, the greatest basketball player ever, perhaps, and go do something totally different for almost 2 years.
No, that's a great point. You know, Tony Kornheiser said something on Pardon the Interruption too, Rick, that I hadn't even thought of until he brought it up. And after he said it, I kind of agreed with him. And that is, I think the pandemic has played a role in all of this too. I think it's played a role in everybody's lives. And I don't think we totally understand it until we get to moments where all of us, and I don't know how you felt, Rick, I've had some moments over the last year where I've been really, really stressed about the news, about about our kids. You worry about
your kids.
You worry about your parents. You know, in your situation, my parents are gone, but you have a mom. You have in-laws who are dealing with things. Like, you know, it's. I do think that, and I think it affects everybody, this pandemic, in ways, because we're living lives that we've never lived before. Whether it's not going out in public, whether it's staying home, whether it's, you know, getting these athletes, Rick, they get you went through it. Yeah. You're getting tested all the time. It's a stressful thing. I think the pandemic has had something to do with it. Now you'll say, well, why isn't every other athlete well, everybody deals with things differently. And so I would not be surprised if the pandemic has played a role in this as well.
Yeah, I think it has. And I think, you know, like I said, just that day, right, you wake up, that arena is different. It's not what they're used to. They're used to crowds. They're in a different country, obviously. They're restricted to their rooms for most of the day. All of that, I think, is that, you know, there's an adjustment, and the adjustment has to be made right now. You're up. I mean, imagine that. Like, it's okay. It's your turn on the apparatus, whatever that might be.
And the world is watching. And your
the world is watching.
And
yes.
Here's the thing. When she goes out there, and I don't know if she's going to compete in the individual instances or not, but this, you know, we see it with swimmers too, with Michael Phelps or whatever. But if Simone Biles, most of the time, if there's a big game in any sport, it's not that this team lost. The lead of the story is, oh, this team won. Not with Simone Biles. When Simone Biles loses, that's the story. She lost.
That's the headline.
That's the headline. Simone Biles lost. The other day, we saw Katie Ledecky the other day, who swam in her race.
Yeah.
She wasn't even supposed to win that race. That's not her specialty.
No.
She swam one of the fastest times in the history of the world and lost. And the whole story the next day is, oh, Katie Ledecky got upset. Like, well, no,
right.
not
no,
really.
No, she didn't. Yeah, the world record holder won.
Right. But that's the pressure that certain athletes are under, and such as Simone Biles. So you're exactly right too. When she gets up there, it's the eyes of the world are on her.
Yeah, and you know, for what we do, like having covered sports for years, as you did as a columnist for the Tampa Bay Times and beat writer as well, covering hockey and things. I'm sure that you've encountered players who have gone through mental illness and struggles. And
sure,
there are some that are heartbreaking. That I remember, one that you know, you just never really could figure it out. And again, you know, it's such a large spectrum of things. Like, we never really know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know what their particular biology is, or family history, or any of that. But I think that, you know, professional sports in general can sometimes only add to that. Right? It's highly competitive. Sometimes not a very forgiving atmosphere, even in or outside the locker room.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
I remember a player. You remember the name Aaron Sears?
Yes, of course.
Second round draft pick, I want to say, of the Bucks, an offensive guard who had amazing talents. He was tremendously talented, played right away. There came a time when Aaron Sears showed up at training camp, and the coaches and the general manager, I think it was Mark Domenech at the time, knew instantly that something was wrong. Like, this guy was suffering. Now, you know, you look back at it and you go, well, football could have been CTE. We didn't know about CTE back then. Maybe it was a head injury, maybe accumulated, whatever. I don't know the cause of it. I don't know the root of it. I don't know anything. I just know that the guy, you know, walked in one day for training camp and they started talking to him and he was non-communicative.
Right.
He didn't speak. He simply looked at them. And this went on for a couple of days until they said, whoa, you have to go get evaluated. You know, we sent Stephen Holder up to his hometown. He left the team for a while. I think Stephen, who now works for The Athletic in Indianapolis, found him and he pulled in his driveway and he wouldn't get out of his car to talk to him. And you know, just like you remember certain instances in athletes you cover, I'm sure you've had too, where, you know, people struggle, and it's difficult to have that occur in the public eye when you're a professional or a college athlete.
We just saw recently, Rick, Vincent Jackson, a guy that we both
very
covered,
good point. Yeah.
Who seemingly had it all, you know?
Yeah.
But, you don't know what the root cause of problems are, but clearly something slipped off track at some point.
I think.
Maybe the good thing here, Rick, with Simone Biles, and we saw it with Osaka as well, and there have been a couple other athletes who have also, Michael Phelps for a brief time,
yes,
stepped away from the sport. I think this will be a good thing that it's bringing more attention to sort of the mental health issue of athletes. And it seems we're like, these seem to be the right people to be talking about. Simone Biles was very eloquent. I thought very eloquent in the way she described what she was going through. I thought Osaka mm-hmm. has also been very clear mm-hmm. in what she's going through. There were some mixed messages at the beginning with Osaka. I'll admit that, but I think she rallied to basically explain what was going on. And I think most of the reaction, look, you're going to get your knuckleheads, you know, your knuckle draggers who will just yeah. like say stupid stuff about this and dismiss mental health because they have no idea what these people are going through. But I think for the most part, people have sort of been, you know, embraced or supported Simone Biles here, at least from what I've seen on from normal people on social media. Maybe this is a sort of the start of something new that players will seek help. Players won't be afraid to walk away. I mean, if Simone Biles can walk away from an Olympic comp, something that she's been training for 5 years, as much as we might be disappointed in not watching her perform, and as much as maybe her advertisers wish she was there, the bottom line, Rick, is nobody has put in more time for these moments than
for
Simone
this
Biles.
One moment, yeah.
So talk about investment, you know, and mm-hmm. talk about a commitment. Talk about Simone Biles has committed more than anybody here on this thing. And yeah. for her to walk away, I think A, says a lot, and B, it's also that that she understands what she's given up. She understands what she's walked away from, but her health was more important. And sometimes, Rick, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, certainly not like we haven't been in those type of situations, but if you ever like have sort of something's been weighing on your mind and, you know, like maybe you made a commitment to something at the last minute, like I can't do it, whether it's something like you promised to help out at the church on something or something at work or a project at work. I've had this happen, Rick, where at the last second, like it's you end up pulling out of it or something falls through and you don't work on it, doesn't come through. And you're like, you're such a relief. It's such a weight off your shoulders sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now multiply that times like 1,000 with the Olympics. So hopefully this will be the beginning or continuation, at least, of athletes feeling like they can comfortably announce when they're having mental health issues and need to step away for a minute.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And you're right. I think she's the, you know, again, she did it with a smile on her face. She was there for her teammates. She tried to explain it as best she could. And people are using the word courageous, which is, you know, something you wouldn't necessarily in the past, like I said, there would be people who say, oh, well, you know, she choked or she, you know. And I think courageous is a good word. I think it was difficult. But probably wise for her not to compete if she was having the least little bit of lack of focus, concentration, especially in a sport that, you know, the way she competes at it, it's not it's what makes her the best in the world. You wonder
Rick, just to bring up one other thing that we haven't mentioned is something that I think needs to be examined is the amount of pressure not only that fans put on her or their expectations, but of things like USA Gymnastics, like what is the culture of USA yeah. Gymnastics?
Yeah.
We see it in other, really in every sport. You know, well, there was the whole Larry Nassar incident.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a whole lot of things that from an early age we know now about individuals and guys like Larry Nassar that, you know, talk about pressure, talk about mental illness and what something like that can do to destroy your life.
Right. And she's been very vocal about how yeah. USA Gymnastics has handled all that. So this is all part of it. It's not just simply she woke up and was too nervous to compete. That's not what happened here, you know, or it's not like I got a sore ankle, you know, yeah. I'm going to fight through it. That's apples and oranges. Those are two different things.
Right. And when it first came out, I think people thought it was a physical, and then she made it clear that no, it was, you know, it was a mental situation. That she was dealing with. You wonder if, you know, the other thing is people being plugged in, you know, enough to recognize this. Like, what if Simone Biles didn't have the courage to say, I know what's at stake. I know what this is going to do. I know how this is going to play, but I'm still going to do it because it's best for me, best for my team. But then you wonder about people that have bad days. You know, you brought up Vincent Jackson, and there was an incident not long ago with a guy who, you know, from all outward appearances, is sort of that kind of guy, right? Richard Sherman had his worst day, and it ended up on a 911 call, on a doorbell, you know, videotape, and eventual arrest and all those things. And, you know, there was no, people said this was completely out of character. He's dealing with some kind of domestic issue or conflict with his wife, I guess, apparently at that time, or father-in-law, whatever. And that could have gone really sour, really bad, really tragic fast, you know? And I know when the Vincent Jackson thing happened, the people who were closest to him, not his family, because I think they sort of understood the demons that he had, but business partners, you know, a lot of community people, as he did so much philanthropically with everybody, just didn't see it. You know what I mean? And there was alcohol abuse in that situation. We know that now, but even that was hidden, you know, to a degree. So it's very difficult, I think, to really understand, even somebody as public as a Vincent Jackson. Look or at Simone Biles.
Somebody as public as Tiger Woods and some of the Tiger issues that Woods, he's been right. through off the golf course. They're human beings. That's the thing that we have to remember.
That's right.
I think there are a lot of us who would say, well, boy, if I was Tiger Woods, what would I have to be stressed about? I'd love to be in that situation. Like, yeah, all of us would love to be in a certain situation until you know, there are a lot of people who want to have my life. I don't know who, but there are some people who would. And I'm like, look,
my hand is up, partner. You can't see it. It's up high.
But it's, you know, like we all have stress. We all have things in our lives.
You got stress. Oh, sure you do.
Oh, you know how it is. Like the old saying too, like you're never as happy as you're never more happy than your saddest child. You know, like
that's true.
It's, you know, you worry about your kids and you worry about you worry about everything. And now, like I said, we don't live our lives in a fishbowl. We don't live our lives on display for the 100 million people, you know. So
you're right. All I have is podcast video and I write every day. But no, I'm not out there at all. Neither were you as a columnist. You never got any bad letters, right? No pressure?
Yeah, not really.
I remember those days. All right, Tom Jones. Well, fortunately, I won't have to see you at 5 o'clock in the morning with Derek Sharp tomorrow, but because we're doing this,
those were the
five
best worst years of our lives.
Did you guys actually get up?
3:45 for me. Tom
I used to
was
get up
late.
At four. I used to get up at four. I'd leave the house at 4:30, be at the studio by 5, and Rick would get there about the same time. You'd get there about the same time. You get there maybe 5:15, Derek.
Yeah, it was kind of like a progression at the first couple of weeks. It was, you know, 4, then 4:30, then it was like, what the hell, 5:15.
But it was, and you know, so what was funny is the first probably couple of years, I probably gained like 25 pounds.
Yeah, you did.
Because
then you lost 50.
Then I lost 50. We ate sausage biscuits.
McDonald's
biscuit.
Every day.
There was a McDonald's right down the street. We used to eat that every day.
Rock breakfast, yeah.
And then Ted Webb would bring down like this, the other breakfast stuff. He'd bring down like, that's the thing about morning radio. Like people would bring in food, like we're eating spare ribs at like 7:30, you know, in the morning.
You're like, I only should do spare ribs for Shirley. And then Ted, I just don't know how he had his own kitchen in the building, but he had full on breakfast. It's like, okay, Ted's doing it.
Yeah, it was amazing. He told us where he got that breakfast from. And then so Rick and I would be like, I mean, it got to be bad. I was eating like two breakfasts a morning before, you know, I had two meals and it was 10 a.m. You know, it's like.
But that was lunch if you're up at 3, so it didn't really matter.
But
right?
Then I still had a lunch and then I still had dinner after that. And,
holy guacamole, I can't eat all this food. Give it to somebody else.
We're going to Hooters later. If you like to go with us, we got to go to Hooters.
But that's what it was. So that's why I gained 25 and then I lost 50. Yeah. So it was, but yeah,
I gained two children when I was there. I don't know what happened.
So anyway,
also lots of visits.
Good to be back. Tom, I mean, really, I feel like I don't know. I kind of know what your job is, but I don't. So
I don't know. To explain it to me, I don't know what it does. No, I work at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. I write a daily newsletter about the latest media news. Today, I wrote about the hearings on Capitol Hill for the for the January 6th insurrection. Wrote about the new mask. I'm getting, so what's the deal with the Bucks, Rick? Are they going to start wearing masks over there again? Or
well, no, I mean, you know, I know that, look, this is not good for the NFL or those of us who cover it or cover sports in general, because we thought that we were sort of coming on the other side of this mountain. But, you know,
we had broken through. We were at the 15, the 10, the 3-2-1 touchdown, yeah. Tampa Bay. But now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, whoa, that we got a flag.
There's
on
a
the flag.
There's
the flag.
Yeah,
we got to go back out again. Go. So.
So they haven't told us anything is imminent, but you know the NFL of course is a reactionary league, and I'll say this about that: one, come hell or high water, they're going to play with full stadiums. Let's not get carried away. We're not giving away money anymore. But the protocols for us is those of us who are vaccinated. We're outdoors. We don't have to wear masks as I do this podcast. I'll get an email later, but we don't have to wear masks outside. They give us these tracers, which kind of tells us who we're in contact with, but which is weird because it's only measures against other vaccinated people that we're in contact with. So what about all those we're around that aren't vaccinated?
Sounds like something out of The Running Man or Rollerball.
Yeah,
or something.
It's just
like
really strange. And so we get one of those as we walk in the facility, and then. If you're not vaccinated, you can still be out there to tier three something or other, but you have to wear a mask. We do interviews now face to face, we're separated by maybe 10 to 12 feet of barrier, but we can actually, kind of more like a press conference setting rather than Zoom where they call on you. You can just kind of spit questions out, which is both good and bad. But it's a little more interpersonal as opposed to just the screen
that we're
all looking at. So I mean that part of it's good, but I don't know what the regular season is going to look like in terms of access. I don't think we're ever going back in the locker room this year, maybe never at all. So a lot of it will depend on just how the country goes with this variant. And now the CDC came out. I'm sure you're writing about this, saying that. It's probably a good idea to wear masks at school, for those kids that are
indoors.
Or all of us indoors. Right. So we're kind of going the wrong direction, and I'm sure that sports will react accordingly, based on sort of what the news of the day is. So, yeah, it's kind of sobering that way. But yep. We're hopeful. And look, we'll talk about this in the next podcast, this vaccination thing. Is a big deal. It's big for society. It's even bigger for NFL players and their coaches. And Ron Rivera had a few things to say. Bruce Arians got a little upset. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's podcast, as well as Tom Brady and his CGI game, which is just like everything else off the chain. So anyway, you can check out Tom at pointer.org. That's pointer.org. And he writes his newsletter Monday through Friday. So check him out there. Tommy, great to talk to you again.
You too, fellas.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, we'll play a little Gimme Shelter now on our way out.
Got the outro music. Absolutely. Let's do that.
There you go.
See you, fellas.
For Tom Jones and Derek Sharp, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.